Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, a special morning commute. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Passover Tuesday.
Yes.
We are Trump's out of the picture for today.
Yes.
No offense to Trump, of course. He's got all sorts of other Tuesdays coming after this. This one's important.
Yes.
And this one is left up for the Lord, especially with the huge lead up and miraculous this whole lead-in that started on February 23rd, a precise 2 months away from today, letting us know that today is a big deal to the Lord, and where we might not have considered it to be any other thing other than another normal Passover, for some reason to the Lord it is a big deal this time. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been led down this most miraculous path.
Yeah.
just one thing after another. And so we wanted to refer back to that miraculous Bible study that we had on February 23rd that kicked this whole thing off.
Yeah.
And let all our listeners know it's a big deal as well.
That's right. The Lord, if he could put all kinds of neon signs pointing to something, this was it. And we don't know why. We don't know what he has planned, but everything was pointed to today,
right.
April 23rd.
With the eclipse, the solar eclipse in between. You know,
right.
I mean, that's huge. And people are still wondering, did the Israelis sacrifice a red heifer last night? We haven't gotten to the bottom of that. There was a rumor that they were going to.
Right.
And of all the Passovers, for them to do that again for the first time in over 2,000 years,
yes.
I'd have to say that would be extremely significant, following on the heels of the big Eclipse X going over the United States, and then this huge lead into 23s and the 23rd being today.
Right. Now, just so you know, a couple of things. The red heifer is sacrificing the red heifer without any blemishes whatsoever. That is essentially the opening ceremony for beginning the process of building the third temple, which they'll be doing sacrifices and so on, but this is essentially where the Antichrist is going to seat himself and declare himself as God. So this is not a good thing, but it is a prophetic thing for us to be paying attention to and understanding the times that we're in. So if that's true, and there's been a lot of discussion about, oh, the red heifer, they've got the red heifer, several of them, they're preparing them, they're going to, you know, there's a whole process for dealing with their ashes and essentially, like I said, the opening ceremony for the third, moving forward with the building of the third temple. So we're getting, you know, very close to that. But, and also, Passover isn't always on a Tuesday. It's on the Jewish lunar calendar. This year, it happens to be on Monday night at sundown, through sundown on the 23rd or Tuesday.
That's right. And we owe a big apology to everyone because Passover technically started last night, and that is when you're supposed to have the Passover meal. And we missed the whole understanding that it starts the night before, and we were fully expecting it to start tonight and have our Passover celebration tonight instead. And so it caught us by surprise, and this happened about late afternoon yesterday, and I kind of questioned, I went, oh no, wait a minute, uh-oh, wait a minute. If Saturday technically starts on Friday night, does Passover technically start the night before? And we found out it does. Right. And in fact, the calendars say that, but we never saw that on the calendar. So we just want to give you a sincere apology that, I mean, this is, we're still catching up to how all this stuff works as well. We're being, you know, being Christians led into the right way and the right path. And so it's a learning process. We hope that we're helping you guys get to the end where we all need to be as well.
Yes.
So you know, it's a journey together. We'll just look at it that way, and hopefully the Lord's grace will understand that while it's new to us, there's going to be some errors made. But we mostly want to apologize to you guys because, well, we just found out late. And
So it snuck up on us.
And so we kept it. We hurried. We posted it on our channel. We said, oh, no, we just found out. And so we hurried, ran to the grocery store, got our stuff, and did the celebration according to how it read in the Bible.
Yeah, the Passover meal.
Yeah.
And it's not a Seder. They use the Seder now, much like Christians celebrate on Easter, where they celebrate Easter with all this, you know, pagan symbology woven all through it. Biblically, it is the wine, the lamb cooked over a fire, and matzah, bread without leaven, and bitter herbs. And so, horseradish for us. And that's it. There's no egg. There's, you know, not all the other stuff involved in
there's
that.
No 4 cups of wine. There's 2 in the biblical Passover, not 4. And like we had mentioned before, that several hundred years after Jesus's resurrection is when the people that were left were still celebrating Passover that took on all of the characteristics of the Greek symposium festival instead of the traditional biblical Jewish Passover. And so the whole Seder came from the copy of the Greek symposium, which is a pagan holiday. Yeah. It's much akin to Christians adopting Easter instead of Passover. Well, these guys went the other way and adopted the Greek symposium festival and put all those attributes onto the Passover.
In the second century.
Yeah.
And this is not how it was done when Christ was here. We're going to talk about that.
That's right.
And this does not make you Jewish.
No.
It's instead of looking at this as a Jewish celebration, think of it as a biblical celebration that points to our Messiah,
right.
Christ.
Yep. Passover is strictly about Jesus.
And he kept the Passover meal and observe the Passover. And as a matter of fact, it was really cool because yesterday we were driving and Lady Liberty reaches back to this set of Word of Promise CDs and just, well, let's see if I can find something that I haven't listened to before. She pulls one out randomly, pops it in, and this is how it starts.
After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death.
Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people.
Now, I'm just going to stop it right there, and we're going to play the rest of this section that pertains to the Passover meal that Christ had with his disciples. But I just wanted to point out, this was a random, Lady Liberty, we praise about it, and usually turns to a random turning. So this was a random turning, but on a Bible audio CD. And what's it talking about? The Passover.
Right, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Just as, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which, you know, is pretty much how Monday is the last day of the 7-day preparation, where you take all the leavening out of your house to prepare as a symbolic sinless week prior to Passover.
Exactly. This was just hours before the Passover was to begin. She pulls this out randomly, pops it in the CD player, and the first thing we hear. So this is what we're talking about. Everything's pointing to Passover, 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 everywhere we turn. And specifically this Passover, the 23rd, April 23rd, for reasons we don't know. Don't understand.
That's right. And this comes right on the heels of what I posted this morning was pretty crazy. Also, I was on our channel, I was describing that, again, this Passover is a big deal to the Lord, and we hope you're all making your plans to celebrate it. Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits on Thursday. And then I posted a little blinking couple of 23s, 23, 23.
Yes.
Make sure that you're paying attention. And just as I see that, I have posted 23, 23, I look at the clock and it's 8:23 in the morning that I'm posting this. And
right.
I went, no, that's kind of crazy. It's 8:23, right? Well, so, that kicked off today.
Pretty remarkable.
And then ended up on this random turning CD issue as well.
Yes. So what I'm going to do is play the portion that followed that, specifically just talking about the Passover meal that Christ was having, that he honored, celebrated, observed with his disciples. And once again, this is not a Jewish thing. This is a biblical thing that Christ, our Messiah, demonstrated himself.
That's right.
So I skip past the Mary anointing him with oil and Judas making his deal to betray him, and just got skip straight to the portion of the Passover meal. And so this is what it sounds like. It's just a couple of minutes.
Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?"
And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us."
So his disciples went out and came into the city, and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said,
"Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me."
And they began to be sorrowful, and to say to him one by one,
"Is it I?
Is it I?
It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born."
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them.
"Take, eat. This is my body."
Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
"This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
"All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee."
See, so there you go. There's described the Passover meal.
The Passover. That's right. And so we wanted to, because this has been such an amazing lead up to today, we wanted to go back and recount this process that we went through on that first day, starting on February 23rd, and just kind of lead up to all of the scriptures that the Lord has brought to our attention since then. You know, that these are all random turnings. They're all quote unquote coincidences, right?
Yes.
But who would have the best understanding of Passover across the entire expanse of the Bible than Jesus himself? Of course, he's able to point out things that we've never put together.
And, that's right.
You know, I'd have to, I'm sure biblical scholars could do this all day long in their sleep, but this is new to us. And the fact that he has pointed this all out to us has been very remarkable. And so we wanted to share it again with you, and starting with the origin of the communion ceremony.
Yes.
And you have that. So if you want to read that from Leviticus chapter 3.
Yes, I will. I'll read chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And before I lose it, what was the audio that was from Mark chapter, the audio that I just played? That was from?
That was Luke 22.
Luke 22. There you go. So if you want to go and look that up and read that, that's from Luke 22.
That I had found on the CD, random CD turning, grabbing from yesterday. And so, you know, fantastic.
All right. So this portion here, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which is titled The Peace Offering. And Lady Liberty's got a great description of Leviticus chapter 3. But this is what it says. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. And then it goes over all of the different organs and how they handle that. But this is, at first you might be like, well, why are we reading this? This is, no, we don't do sacrifices anymore. Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. But this is a foreshadowing of something to come.
Right. In the Bible notes on that passage, it describes that a peace offering was an optional sacrifice which could be brought in conjunction with a confession or vow, or simply as a freewill offering of gratitude. It consisted of a sacrificed animal, some of which was burned, some eaten by the priests, and some returned to the worshiper to eat. It was a festive offering foreshadowing the New Testament communion meal, as well as any other festive Christian meal commemorating salvation. And so the origin of the Passover communion was actually this peace offering from Leviticus chapter 3.
Interesting.
Right. And so then that leads us to, if you wanted to find out where that goes from there into the New Testament, that led us into Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, which reads under the title, Jesus Institutes the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many of the remission of sins. And then he says in verse 29, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so what happened after that verse was this all started on February 23rd.
Yes.
And so this next morning when we started into the rest of these verses, it was 2/24/24 was the date. And I remember it just kind of jumped out at me that I went, oh, that's interesting. It's Matthew 26:26.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. Right. And, you know, because we pay attention to numbers ever since 444 started happening and 333. Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy what ends up happening when you start paying attention to numbers that we just recognize. We don't understand necessarily what all that means. But we just recognize it and label it as God's afoot, right? That yes. God is here. He's reminding us that he's with us. And that's how we've kind of always just referred to it, because we don't necessarily understand what it means. We just know it's a very interesting occurrence when it happens.
Yes.
And so I noticed Matthew 26:26, and that the date was 2/24/24. And so looking at those numbers, I had the Bible open and I just went, oh, I wonder what would happen if you added all those numbers up. So I took 2/24/24, 2/6/26, and I added them up in columns of three, in a stack of three. So it was 2/24 on the first line, 2/4/2 on the second line, 6/2/6 on the third line, and I added them up. For whatever reason, I have no idea. Just
never just, done that before.
Just out of the blue, it added up to the number 1,092, and I went, What is 1,092? And I remember saying to you, well, if anything shows up as 1,092 today, we'll know that, you know, that God meant it as something, right?
Right.
And then we kind of laughed and blew it off. And I thought, oh, well, wait a minute. What about page 1,092? What is on page 1,092? Well, holy cow. It ends up being Jeremiah 23:23, right? And Jeremiah 23:23 reads, am I God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? And I went, okay, well, so that's interesting. I wonder what happens if you add up 23:23 through 32, right? Well, because I was looking at the Bible notes for Jeremiah 23:23, and you look down here in the notes, and this is specifically what it shows. It's just the numbers, chapter 23, verse 23 through 32, and basically describing God is both transcendent and imminent, and is aware of the prophet's deception of the people by false revelation through dreams. And so I just read that, but that number popped out at me, 23:23:32. So I went, well, okay, so let's add that up in a column of three. And so I did. I put 232 on the first line and 332 on the second line and added them together, which was 564. And I thought, okay, so let's look at page 564. Well, guess where page 564 leads us? That goes to 2 Kings 23.
Yes.
And so I went, ah!
Another 23.
Okay. Like, this is so crazy. I can't even understand it.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm like, what led you to add those up? You're like, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Do that. It just popped into my head. And especially even in columns like that. Why? You know, I don't know. And so it just, we're just willing subjects at this point. And so we go to 2 Kings 23 that reads, seriously, that's where it starts on that page. There's nothing before.
Right.
2 Kings 23. It starts right there at the corner. It says, Josiah restores true worship. Well, and so is that a big deal? Josiah restores true worship. Well, it most certainly is a big deal, because first of all, he wipes out all of the idol worship that had been going on. He wipes it all out. He wipes out all the altars of all of these different false gods of Ashtoreth, of Milcom, Chemosh, Baal, Moloch, all of the ones that we have right now in America.
That's right.
Right? Every single last one, he wipes them all out, right? And so then we get over here to verse 21 of 2 Kings chapter 23. And listen to this. Well, 20, it says, he executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them. And he returned to Jerusalem because these were all of the Baal worshipers and Ashtoreth worshipers. So 21 starts, then the king commanded all the people saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. And cool. So this is where those crazy number add-ups led us.
Yes. Another Passover.
Yes.
Another scripture about a significant major Passover.
Yep. Absolutely stunning. And
but
so
wait, there's more.
Right. Well, and so then at that time, I'm keeping track of all of this in my notebook as this is happening because we're just so blown away by how we're being led through this Bible study.
Yeah.
And so then you look at the clock and you go, oh my gosh, it's 10:23.
Right. Yeah, I went up to get a cup of coffee and the clock on the coffee maker says 10:23 as she's saying the word 23.
Yep. Yep. It was, you can't have it any more precise than that. And so then we're, you know, kind of marveling to each other with jaws dropped open, you know, and we went, wow, well, so maybe Passover is a big deal. We better look and see what day that is this year.
Yeah, we'll mark it on the calendar.
We'll mark it on the calendar. So we grab the calendar, we pull it out, and we write it down. It turns out we look and we go, oh, okay, Passover is on April 23rd. And that went straight over our head.
Right.
We wrote down all the details so that, you know, X marks the spot. We'll be able to pay attention. So we hang the calendar back up. And about 10 minutes later, we come back and I look and I went, oh my gosh, that's a 23 also. April 23rd. No way.
Right.
Well, so then, you know, ever since then, we've been posting on our channel all of these 23s that keep coming up, all these random turnings that keep coming up about the Passover,
right,
just over and over and over. And so here we are today, and it is the eve and the day of Passover on April 23rd.
Right,
and
which began at sundown Monday night.
That's right.
That's April 23rd.
That's right. And so there's another, this was a random turning that for the word of the day on February 29th. And the random turning for that day for Fired Up Friday was from 2 Chronicles 30. And that random turning was, guess what? Hezekiah keeps the Passover. So
yes.
So now you wanted to read 2 Chronicles 30, especially verses 22 and on.
Yes, and I've got that. I've got the King James Version right here. And so starting on verse 22 of that 2 Chronicles chapter 30, and Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings. See, there's the peace offerings. And making confessions to the Lord God of their fathers. Remember, we've been talking about repenting, confessing and repenting, right? And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bulls, and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. So there is another one there. Now let me jump up to verse 2 real quick, which says, "For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month." This was about the Passover. So once again, we were led to another scripture on this rabbit trail, which landed us right on another king holding a massive Passover.
That's right. It's so stunning. I've never had any kind of a Bible study about Passover, anything near this.
Right. We just in the last couple of years started understanding the feasts and how relevant they are to Christ, and that they point to him, that he fulfills them in order. And so the Passover is a big deal. He's the ultimate Passover lamb.
That's right.
That's why we don't do sacrifices anymore.
That's right.
Because he was the ultimate sacrifice that ended it all, that entered the new covenant. And that's what Passover is about. He even said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. This is my flesh. This is a new covenant." So the old covenant and sacrificing animals on the altar at the temple in Jerusalem, all that ended. Just like he told the woman at the well, "A time is coming, and it's even now, that you won't go to the mountain or to Jerusalem to worship, that God's going to be accessible, and the time is now." She was standing in front of the Messiah, right? So
right.
That time is now. Now we I guess, observe these feasts from a biblical perspective, and in the understanding that it all points to Christ, that he's the fulfillment of these, that those are foreshadowings of things that he would fulfill.
That's right. And even though the Jews have kept Passover ever since the Exodus,
yes,
it had been a Jewish festival, but then once Christ fulfilled it and was the Passover lamb himself, it is now more of a Christian holiday than it is a Jewish holiday. And truly, Jesus was Jewish anyway. And so truly, Christians have got to be on board with this.
Right.
This is strictly about Jesus. There
That's right.
is no Passover lamb other than Jesus.
Right.
And so therefore, why would we not all be keeping Passover to the letter?
So let's help folks out. Maybe you want to run to the store today and you want to say, we're going to do this for the first time.
That's right.
Okay. So we're going to what? What do we do? Well, what we did, we went and we bought, and we're not big lamb fans.
Right.
We're all about the beef,
yeah,
right?
That's for sure.
But we went and bought these small little lamb steaks, lamb chops.
Lamb chops, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
I guess. And the Bible says cook it over an open flame, and then making matzah, which is basically flatbread, kind of like a big...
Flour, water, and salt.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No leaven, no yeast.
Right.
Right. And then...
And for those of you that can't eat grains and wheat like I can't, I just use cassava flour mixed with a little almond flour and salt and water, and that it works.
And there you
go.
Yep. And you bake it, it's like a big pita bread.
Yep.
Very cool. So this is basically... And wine, red wine.
Yep.
And
two glasses, just like Jesus did.
Yep.
One in the beginning and one in the end.
There you go. And then read these accounts.
Or unless you flat out don't drink, just you can substitute something else, grape juice
or something like that. If you don't drink or you shouldn't drink,
right?
Then go with the grape juice.
Yep.
All right. But... I would say there's the meal, and then before and after, then read the Exodus account of the Passover, first Passover.
Yep.
And also Luke 22, what we just played for you, but reread it and see how Christ, and of course you could look in the other Gospels too for the Last Supper, that Passover meal. And read that to your family or listen to it. If you have the, like the Word of Promise audio dramatization, you know, you probably recognize Jim Caviezel's voice, or both. Read, listen, and listen to it.
Or, you know, you could just pull out the Ten Commandments, you know, with
Charlton Heston.
Yes, Charlton Heston, who I think is the best Moses ever, right?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
If you could, you could pull out the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and watch that, and I think that is very much honoring,
right?
Honoring to the Lord and to Jesus as well. And so, if you are going to start with a reading in Exodus, you could start in Exodus chapter 11, that goes into the death of the firstborn announced, and then chapter 12 is the Passover instituted, and read through that. That gives you, you know, word for word exactly how it happened, how God wants to see it celebrated, and yeah, just read through all the way through chapter 13, where it describes, well, chapter 12 describes Passover regulations, which don't really apply anymore, because like we don't sacrifice the lamb anymore, and we don't have a temple, and we don't do the blood thing over right. the door. But you can read in chapter 13, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also the Feast of First Fruits, and those are all directly pointing to Jesus as yep, well.
Because so. The Feast of First Fruits is the true resurrection day.
Yep.
Not Easter.
That's right.
And it's biblical.
Yep.
Not traditional. All the Easter stuff is purely tradition of men.
Yep.
Not biblical at all. So there you go. There's your, and you can read through the scriptures that we mentioned earlier too, about the kings and the massive Passover celebrations that they had. You can incorporate that into your evening.
That's right.
As well. And this was done, and this was repeated all through
the Jewish
culture.
Oh.
That the reason why you do this is so you remember that the Lord brought you out of Egypt. That's just right. reinforced over and over.
Yep.
But as Christians, we don't do that, although that's part of our Bible, how God rescued the Jews from Egypt. The reason why we do it is because, first of all, Christ modeled it. He did it. And secondly, it points to him. He's right. the sacrificial lamb.
Yep.
He's the Passover lamb. And so it pulls us back into the scriptures, the Word of God, and away from less tradition, more Bible.
Right.
And so as Christians, this is why we see these as foreshadowings that he fulfills. That's why.
Well,
that's why we should be doing it as Christians.
There's also another symbology that is often overlooked in the Exodus account, where the Jews are saved with the blood of the lamb.
Yes.
They're saved with the blood of the lamb and then delivered into the promised land.
Yes.
Right? That is a symbology of what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as
right.
our Lord and Savior. And that gives us eternal passage into the promised land of eternity.
That's right.
With him in heaven. And
yes.
so,
and while we're here grafted in as heirs, as Abraham's children.
That's right.
You know, heirs yep,
we're grafted in.
Absolutely.
Jesus is the vine, and the Jews are the branches, and the Christians are the Gentiles that are grafted into those branches.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, hey, it's biblical, and it's exciting. It's an exciting thing to learn more about God than you knew before, and his ways and his promises. And it
yeah.
just brings yep. you closer to him. This has been a really cool journey. And boy, the church after the first or second century was really robbed of
yep.
our heritage.
Absolutely.
And our understanding.
Yep.
And so this is just, you know, being we're rediscovering it. And it's just so cool.
Well, and there was one more thing that we wanted to add to this, because this was, this is kind of a profound statement by the Lord where when he describes his feasts and he invites us all to his feasts, and the people that don't show up to the feasts because they, you know, they've got better things to do. They want to watch the grass grow. They want to watch the paint dry on their shed.
Right.
You know, I mean, these mindless, inane things they choose over God's invitation to join with him on his feast
day. Yes.
Well, and so Isaiah 66 describes the people that show up for his feasts and the people that don't show up for his feasts and partake in his in these celebrations of the Lord that he defines. And so Isaiah 66 has kind of a warning to people that he invites and decide not to come, right? And it reads under the title True Worship and False. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides you shall be carried and be dandled on her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of the nations on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules, on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. And that's it.
Wow. So,
and so, so
this will be done in eternity and during the millennium.
Rather. Right. Yep, exactly. And so verse 17 particularly is important, where it describes those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination of the mouth, shall be consumed together. And that is basically the pagan observance of worshiping false gods, where, you know, it says they sanctify themselves and purify themselves, more or less like going through a mikvah, making themselves clean to go and worship an idol in the garden, you know, and right. eating the swine's flesh and doing the terrible things that they do when they're worshiping this false god or false gods. And so God says you're not supposed to do that kind right. of thing, and don't uphold these pagan holidays attributing their forms of worship to his feast days or replacing them. And one of the best verses that describes that comes from Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 32, which reads, "Beware of false gods. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.'
Right.
You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it."
Hmm.
And so you can't get any more specific than that. And God said it, I mean, word for word, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it.
Yes.
You shall not add to it nor take away from it." So when he calls us to these feasts that are extremely important to him and are reflective and a shadow of things to come where his son fulfills them all,
right,
he's very specific and he is very serious.
Yep.
And so when he invites you, be sure to show up and be sure to do it the way he prescribes.
Right.
And not attribute any other pagan way to it. And again, that very important verse was Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 32.
Yeah, and then we really took that to heart when we started realizing the pagan roots of Easter. With this scripture here, do not mix the pagan ways that they celebrate when you come to me to honor me.
Right.
Don't bring that stuff in here. Don't mix the pagan rituals and customs and everything else.
That's right. He says
and
he
say
hates
that
it.
You're worshiping me.
Right.
I don't even want anything to do with it. So
yep.
To say, well, you know, the Easter is Easter is the resurrection of Christ. And so that's why we are, well, yeah, but then you've got your Easter egg hunt and you've got your Easter bunny stuff and you've got all of the other pagan stuff that God says, don't even worship me.
Yep. Don't
and include all this pagan stuff.
Don't
do
it. Don't add to it.
Yeah. He hates it.
Yep. He says he hates it.
So, anyway, it's time for us to start doing what God wants.
That's right.
And it's hard to break away from traditions because they're so interwoven in us, which is another reason why we're warned not to do it, because it's so hard to disconnect from it.
Right.
For sure. So anyway, hopefully you guys are blessed by that. This is a special presentation from the morning commute to all of you. And
from the Lord.
From the Lord. through us to all of you.
Praise God.
Glory to Him for sure. And you guys just be blessed. You have a great Passover, and hopefully you're blessed by the scriptures that we're pointing you to, and something new in your walk and in your faith to bring you closer to Him and His Word.
That's right.
So you guys be safe out there. Be blessed. Be vigilant. And remember to continue to pray for the Republic and to pray for Israel. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a blessed, ultra blessed Passover on this April 23rd. And blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.